Fan Junkies Radio is brought to you by FanJunkies.net, where sports meet social networking. Junkies Radio. I am your host, Jonathan Ragus. Alongside me, as always, is my buddy, Mike McShane. Mike, how you doing?
Hey, I'm terrific tonight, Jonathan. This is great. You know something? I really like this 6:30 start. This is great. The evening stuff, good job.
Yes, that's exactly what's going on here. We're actually going to be broadcasting live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 6:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and that's what the fans truly wanted.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No reason why they can't be listening live. No reason why they shouldn't be able to call in.
Exactly. You could still be eating dinner with your family and listening to us via your laptop.
Well,
why not?
Maybe they shouldn't be eating. I don't know. I mean,
listen, you know what? People have to eat. It's that simple. But you know what? Before we do anything, I'm going to throw out the number tonight. It's 347-237-5373. If you have any questions, any comments, any feedback on what me and Mike talk about tonight, call in. We welcome it, and we can't wait to hear from you.
Things doing all right with you, Jonathan, huh? You had a bad day last Friday, huh?
Yeah, bad day last Friday. We apologize for not having any shows Friday and this Monday. Friday had a bad blowout on the car and unfortunately had to wait a couple hours to get towed. And then Monday, under the weather, and it sucked.
So you're better off now?
Better off now. But doing right. Good. Doing good. Right. Rocking. Living. We're getting there. But
living sports.
Yeah,
living sports.
Exactly. Living sports. But let's start off the show tonight. We have a nice hour ahead of us and schedule here for everybody. First, we're going to start off with The Rant by Mike McShane. Mike, the mic is yours.
Oh, yeah, the mic's mine, huh?
Yes, it is.
You know, I, this might come as an unpopular one. I've been on record on this one since March.
Yeah.
All right, I've written, I've written at least three different articles on it on three different websites since then, and I've been quite vocal about it on 5 Minutes at the Frat House. And that's the new Major League Baseball wild card format. What do you think of it, Jonathan, huh? You all excited about this? Is this getting your juices going?
I haven't been excited about anything Major League Baseball in quite a while. So.
Well, you know, for those of you that are out there, you know, some of you might be sitting on the edge of your seat because, you know, hey, you're following this. We've got two wild cards in there now, you know. Two teams are going to play in Major League Baseball in a wild card playoff. Boy, oh boy, isn't this exciting? It expands things. This is the dumbest thing that I have ever heard of in my entire life. First of all, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. That's my old adage. And
yeah.
When they first introduced it in March, they did it kind of quietly. And really what was rather interesting about the whole thing was it was part of the CBA agreement that both the MLB and the MLBPA came to terms with last November. However, Major League Baseball was not going to actually put it into play until 2013. Well, they snuck it in there ahead of time and got it in, and they announced it in early March. This is what was going to happen.
Yeah.
And boy, oh boy, everybody was like, oh, isn't this great? It's going to expand things. It's going to make things more interesting. Let's get this straight. Let's understand the way this format's going to work. What's going to happen is you're going to have the number four team in the AL or in the NL play against the number five team in a one-game elimination. Hey, that's not a playoff. You know what that is in baseball? That's a flip of the coin. That's all that is. All right? That game could go either way. And really, when it comes right down to it, the number four team, and in fact, I'm going to bet right now this year, I guarantee it, one of the two wild card playoff games, the underdog is going to win.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's the AL or the NL, one of them's going to win. Watch it. And when that happens, I'm going to tell you right now, the folks on the favorite team, the fan bases, the media, are all going to be screaming that this is unfair. How could Major League Baseball have a one-game elimination? All right? Listen, Major League Baseball has always been about series. We've always worked in three games, four games, seven-game series. why in the world are we only having a one-game series? So what's going to happen is I'm going to guarantee this is going to be the end result. Major League Baseball is going to expand the wild card playoff to 3 games in the future. It may be next year. It may be the year after. But they're going to expand it. And you know what? At that point, then, we're going to be looking at baseball into early November. That is just ridiculous. I do not understand. And here's the other thing, too, that kind of bugs me about it.
Yeah.
And we're not seeing it right now, and I don't know if we're going to see it this year. You know, all of us remember it was in January of 2011. The Seattle Seahawks got in to the playoffs as a 7-9 team. They were sub-500. I'm going to guarantee you right now, if you keep this sort of thing going, at some point, and it won't happen this year. No, not this year. But there will be a sub-500 team that will make it into the Major League Baseball playoffs, and they will win the wild card playoff, and they will then go on to the NLDS or the ALDS, and they will win that, and they will keep moving. And suddenly you're going to find yourself with a sub-500 team deep into the playoffs. And I just think the whole thing is ridiculous. Why would you mess with something that worked so well? Major League Baseball had the playoffs working better than anybody else. Why mess with it?
Agree. I totally agree. Now, let me ask you this. If that happens and a subpar 500 team goes in and, let's say, blows out a dominant first-place team, what kind of outlash do you expect to hear from the fans against Major League Baseball?
Well, I'll tell you right now, I suppose if it were in a series format, a three-game, a five-game, or a seven-game, you know, I guess you're really not going to hear that much of a bitch about it. I think really where you would probably hear the more complaint would be on the front end if it turns out that you get a sub 500 team getting in on a one game elimination. That's what it is. It's not a playoff, folks. It's an elimination game. I mean, it's not dissimilar to what the NCAA did 2 years ago when they expanded the men's basketball tournament from 64 to 68.
Yeah.
That whole thing for the day or two in advance is ridiculous. But I guess if you were to play a seven-game series against a powerhouse team in Major League Baseball and that underdog team were to win, I guess you really can't complain too much because it is on a level playing field. It's in a format that we're accustomed to. It's a seven-game series. And one would have to say, well, hey, the favorite team had every opportunity to beat them.
Well, let me ask you this, Mike. Are you aggravated because you don't sound too happy right now? But listen, it's Major League Baseball. How many more times can they do something like this, but yet still rake in all this money and gain more fans? I mean, all of this is coming out over the last bunch of weeks and you know, over the last month, whenever they did it. And then today, you hear what Bud Selig said about Melky Cabrera if he were to win the batting title.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Now, it comes out that if he wins it, they're not going to interfere. After being suspended 50 games for a positive drug test, which Melky Cabrera knew, and he tried to hide. But the great thing is that the comment from Bud Selig today that I just read just minutes ago while you were talking and basically just ripping apart Major League Baseball for their expansion of the wild card. He said, and I quote, "You can't change records because once you get into that, it would never stop. It would create more problems than it would solve." What exactly, what kind of problems would it make by doing that? I don't get it. It's you know, they're tucking their tails in between their legs on this. They're tucking their tails in between the legs on everything else. Are you really shocked that they're doing this with the wild card? Because I'm not. It's Major League Baseball. It's been crap for years.
Well, take a look at his comment there. There's a little CYA going on there. Make no mistake. In essence, what he's doing is he's covering up for the fact that he knows that Barry Bonds is getting into the Hall of Fame. He knows for a fact that Mark McGwire is getting into the Hall of Fame. And that's a little CYA on his part. That's what that comment
is. Oh, absolutely. He knows what's going on. He could have stopped it years ago.
You know,
but guess
now,
what?
The only thing I would respond to him on that one is, and if you, I was only planning on one. I was planning on one rant,
yeah.
Jonathan, not two and three. But my comment to him on that is, if we're going to take a look at records, then why the heck don't I have Pete Rose in there?
Amen. One of the most deserving players to be in the Hall of Fame, and he's not. Due to why? Because he gambled? Come on. Get real.
It was after the fact, and it had nothing to do with his play on the field.
What really peeves me is the fact that Melky Cabrera can test positive for a drug. He can hide it. His agent can try to hide it. They find out that both of them tried to hide it when they knew what was going on, and yet he gets suspended for 50 games. He's going to come back, make a few more million dollars next season, and get to play baseball. If that was anybody else, let's say that was you or me at our jobs, we would get fired.
In a real job?
Exactly. We would get fired, and it would also hamper us from getting employment elsewhere in the future.
You're not kidding. You're not kidding.
Well, let me tell you, if the Giants end up releasing Melky Cabrera tomorrow, and after his 50-game suspension, I guarantee you another team will throw millions of dollars at him and sign him.
You know it. Absolutely. That's exactly what's going to happen.
I don't blame the players. I blame the owners. And let me tell you this. I blame the owners, in essence, in every sport. And that's what's going to lead us to our next thing now.
There you go.
National Hockey League, the lockout. And we're going
to... for your rant.
What's going on?
Time for your rant.
Exactly. It's not really a rant, because you know what? It's their lockout in 18 years. I mean, you know, what can you say about this? Okay, so today, the National Hockey League has canceled all preseason games through September 30th. There's only 10 more days left, or 11 or 12, whatever, in September. They're not even talking. They're not close to anything. They're not even close to shaking a hand and say, okay, well, let's do this agreement and we'll keep working on it to get it done so we can have a season back. That's not even happening. What does the NHL think and the NHLPA think is going to happen in 10 days? It's really just a ploy. They're doing that. They're trying to shake down the NHLPA. It's just disgusting. And then the great thing is that yesterday the Florida Panthers had to lay off their mascot. And then today the NHL is putting all of their staff into a four-day work week, so they're going to lose a day's pay. So there's a 20% cut across the entire board.
Who was it though, who I just read just before we went on the air? The name's escaping me. Actually indicated, and they're going to go over and play in Europe, indicated that they truly believe, and it's a star in the NHL, believes that, in fact, we're looking at a washed-out season.
Oh, yeah, Rick Nash said that today.
There it is.
Rick Nash told reporters in Switzerland, because he signed with Davos in Switzerland, that he doesn't think there's going to be an NHL season. That's sickening.
Yep.
But
what's concerning to me is that when you start to hear players expressing that sort of sentiment, then you start to wonder what kind of resolve the Players Association are going to have to get anything done at all to try to resolve it.
Yeah.
If, in fact, they have got the opinion and the impression that, hey, you know what, we got to go make a livelihood someplace else. Here it is. This is what I'm going to go do. Well, then, in fact, they're actually throwing their hands in the air and they're saying, you know something, it's not going to happen.
I agree. 347-237-5373. If you want to rant about the NHL, colon, because it's sickening.
Rant about that? Rant about Major League Baseball? Hey, what do you think of wild card, huh?
Nah, nobody cares about baseball.
Come on, man.
Let's see.
Call in and tell Jonathan he's wrong.
Come on, man. No real person cares about baseball. No, I'm just kidding. Baseball.
Well, you've got your own little kind of fan thing going though with the NHL.
Yeah. Myself and a bunch of other hockey bloggers, Ranger Nation fan junkies, the guys at the frat house. We all got involved in a little project here. It's called the National Hockey League Fan Alliance. And basically what it is, it's something that we set up to be the voice of the fan. If nothing comes out of it, you know, out of this lockout, and you know, it doesn't basically start to taper down and we think that there's going to be any solution, we're going to start firing off letters on behalf of the fans. And we're not going to stop until we get an answer. Basically, that's it. What you could do is you could follow us on Twitter at NHL Fan Alliance, or you can also go to our website at www.nhlfa.org, and you'll see all of the updated news, articles from TSN, and you know all these different hockey blogs and everything about the lockout, and basically join in. I mean, we launched it yesterday, and we already have 400 followers on Twitter. The site's getting over 1,000 hits a day right now, and we just launched it yesterday. So over 1,000 yesterday, over 1,000 today, going towards 2,000 hits. The NHL fans are pissed. They want to know what's going on. And if you are one of those fans, find the NHL Fan Alliance on a computer somewhere, join up, send us your message, and we'll try to help you out as best as we can. I don't know if it'll do anything, but we're not going to be like other sites that, you know, say, oh, yeah, you know, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. No, we're actually going to write letters, They will be sent and certified to the National Hockey League because somebody needs to answer for the fans, and basically their feelings and their hard-earned money should be thought about when lockouts come down.
And I think that's the most amazing thing, Jonathan, is what you just brought up, and that is that this all started. We all, you know, you did, and a bunch of us all got together, what, about 3 or 4 days ago?
Yes.
And have launched this thing, and this thing has just taken off. And so, obviously, you know, like anything else, the interest is high right now because it's fresh in people's minds. And the idea is, you know, we got to keep this momentum going.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It has to be. You know,
most people
do stuff and then they break down because, oh, yeah, you know what, they're talking. Here comes, the lockout's going to be over. No, it shouldn't be that way. You should still get an answer from the National Hockey League on why there was a third lockout in 18 years. Why is the fans' feelings and the hard-earned money that these fans make, which is not much, and they take and dip into this league, into these teams, into these players, why is that not thought of? Why is that not spoken of before the lockout ensues?
Great point. And, you know, this is what concerns me. And I brought it up, I think, on one of our previous shows, is that the longer it goes, the longer the greater the complacency will become amongst
Absolutely.
The fan base.
Absolutely.
And we, as a fan base, have got to stay angry.
Yes, and that goes for every sport.
I agree.
What
Absolutely.
Happens?
Every sport.
Because without the fans, without their hard-earned money to pay these ridiculous prices at games, for apparel, for food and drinks at these arenas, there would be no sports.
You got it.
Closed, period.
And that's why it's important we speak out about Major League Baseball and NFL and NHL and all of them.
Absolutely.
So
like I said, you know what, follow us, follow the NHL Fan Alliance on Twitter at NHL Fan Alliance, and also head over to the website, www.nhlfa.org, sign up for the forum, read all the updated news, and just spread the word. That's all you need to do. It's that simple. All right, Mike, our rants are over for now, and it's time to... Drum roll, please. No. Okay. It's time to talk National Football League.
Oh, there we go. Something we won't rant about, huh?
Exactly. Week two is...
Unless we bring up the referees.
well, I think everybody can complain about the replacement referees in NFL, but we did that the last couple.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we're not going to do that now. I'm tired of it. They suck. Everybody knows they suck. Yeah. Take them out behind the shed, shoot them, get the real Russ back in. That's all we need. All right. Let's talk week two. There's a lot of surprises in week two, but they're also... weren't many surprises. And one of the surprises was the Arizona Cardinals with a very surprising but very good win over the New England Patriots.
Yeah.
What did you think of that game, Mike?
Well, you know, I got to tell you, we had it on here at the frat house, as you can imagine, and for reasons that you know. You know, in the end, New England only lost the game by 2. All right. Arizona won it 20-18. And I got the box score up in front of me, and I have looked at it left, right, and center tonight. And I'm looking down the whole thing, and I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute, the box score doesn't resemble the game that I watched. Because when you look at the box score, almost every single category in there favors New England. And it's only when you look at the score itself that you go, wait a minute, New England lost this? How is that even possible? Every single statistic favored New England. In this particular game.
Oh, there goes the mascot. He's barking. Our in-studio mascot is barking.
The only thing I suppose if there was one thing you're going to point to in this particular game that just didn't work,
yeah,
it was Tom Brady. Tom Brady was 28 of 46. That's not a very good completion percentage.
Oh, but you know, 16 yards.
His quarterback rating was 79.6. Now, you know, he was up against Kevin Cobb. Kevin Cobb, however, actually had a better game at 15 of 27 for an 82.3 QB rating. So,
yeah.
You know, it's difficult to actually pinpoint one single thing that, in fact, you know, made the difference in this, with the exception of the fact that New England just didn't have an offensive game at all through three quarters of the entire game.
Yeah. It was bad. I mean, No matter, like you said, you look at the box score, it looks like the score should have been at least a 2-touchdown win by the New England Patriots.
Yep.
Easily. Yep. But one of the things you have to look at, and even though he threw for 140 yards, 15 for 27, Kevin Cobb, well, besides a fumble lost, he really, you know, didn't turn over the ball as much as you would expect him to turn over, especially against a team like the New England Patriots. The running backs were garbage. You know, you had 33 carries for only 105 yards by five players. You know, what's going on here? Jay Feely made some field goals, and you have to think, you know, that was a big part of this win.
Well, the Arizona defense looked very, very good. They rushed Tom Brady like you wouldn't believe.
Yeah, fourth.
Four sacks, that's right.
You know, the defense had 66 tackles on the day, four sacks on Brady. They had about six quarterback hits and seven tackles for a loss.
Absolutely. So those, you know, again, if there's a couple of things you point to, it's the fact that Brady was rushed, obviously. The Arizona defense came out to play. That's obvious. And Brady really did not have a very good game, probably because he was hearing footsteps all day long.
Yes. Now, let me ask you this. In the first 2 weeks, you know, has Brady, you know, really looked that good? I mean, you know, they played Tennessee. You can't really say anything good about that game because it's Tennessee.
We've seen this from Brady in the past. I don't know if early season numbers are always the best barometer on him.
Yeah.
Obviously, I wouldn't throw the towel in on him. If you've got him on your fantasy team, certainly don't bench him. This would not have been the kind of performance that I would have expected from Tom Brady against an Arizona team. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
But like I said, we have seen it before, so.
Yep, we definitely have. The number is 347-237-5373. If you want to call in and talk sports with us, or you just have a comment, or if you want to tell us we suck, you can do that. We appreciate it, and we're looking forward to it.
Oh, yeah, we always appreciate when people tell us we suck.
Absolutely. Well, you know what? To watch the Patriots lose, especially to a team like the Arizona Cardinals, is always a good thing for most football fans. I mean, that's something you can't deny. I was happy to watch it.
It certainly shook up the AFC East. That's for at least for a minute.
Well, look at that. You know, the funny part is, hey, Kevin Cobb is 2-0.
Who'd have thunk that?
Exactly. But you know what? It goes to tell you, I mean, of course, you need to have a good corner, you know, a quarterback to win games. But is defense the way to go? And then you have to look back at Trent Dilfer actually winning a Super Bowl.
And who's Kevin Cobb playing next?
Who are they playing this week?
The Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, Philadelphia Eagles. Now, let me ask you this. If the Cardinals go in, are they playing in Philly or are they playing in Arizona?
I believe that's in Arizona. Yeah, we are at Arizona.
If Kevin Cobb outplays Michael Vick and the Cardinals win, what's going to go down in Philadelphia in the media?
Fluke.
Fluke? Kevin Cobb the fluke?
It's a fluke. It's a fluke, and Mike Vick just has been, you know, look, let's get it straight. Take a look at what Michael Vick has done in the past 2 weeks. Oh, yeah, he won the game this past weekend, and that was terrific. And, you know, we all felt a lot better about it here in Philadelphia because at least we beat Baltimore, who's a contending team. It wasn't like the week before where we won by 1 point against the Browns.
Yeah.
But Mike Vick, another 3-interception day. Another 4-turnover day. Now, the fourth turnover was a fumble, I believe, from McCoy. So you don't blame that one necessarily on Vic. But he's had 7 turnovers, I believe, in the first 2 games. The team itself has had 9 turnovers in the first 2 games. And both games, they've won.
And which is what I was just going to say. They should not be 2-0 right now.
Probably not this past week, I would say. You know, I frankly had them, I had discounted them probably by about the third quarter. I didn't think they were going to come back. But then, you know, you sit there and you watch that last fourth quarter drive that Vic put on, going all the way down the field with without any issue whatsoever. And you sit there and go, wait a minute, where's that been the entire game?
Yeah.
So if Michael Vick goes into Arizona and Kevin Cobb were to beat him, I think what you would be hearing is you'd be hearing a lot of people screaming about the fact that This is what we have seen from Michael Vick all year long. What the heck is wrong with him? Maybe it's time for Nick Foles. That's what you're going to hear. But you're also then going to hear Kevin Cobb just had a really good game, and don't expect that all the time.
Yeah, we'll see what happens, especially if the Arizona defense steps up. But there's a good solution for it, and especially with that fourth quarter drive, and that goes for all NFL quarterbacks. Use your damn tight ends. Brent Celek, 8 receptions, 157 yards. It was just an outstanding game from Celek. Why? Because a Philadelphia quarterback actually used Brent Celek.
You couldn't have asked for more from him, and for gosh sake, you know, it was highlight reel after highlight reel, his hurtling over Ed Reed. Just a tremendous play that was.
Well, he was targeted 11 times. I don't think he was targeted 11 times in 6 to 7 games last year.
Yeah.
Total.
Well, it might indicate a little bit of a change in the offensive scheming that's going on with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Well, hopefully for Philadelphia fans' sake, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, you know what, let's move it over. You know, another good story from this week and another surprising story was the Carolina Panthers with a big win over the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, it sure was. Cam Newton looked like the Cam from last year, didn't he? Huh?
Oh, he looked great. You know, he was 14 for 20, 253 yards, 1 touchdown, 13 carries, 71 yards with a rushing touchdown. He looked damn good.
Yeah, and Drew Brees didn't. All right.
You know, another 2 INTs for Brees. I mean, he threw for yardage. His receivers looked good. Darren Sproles, 13 receptions, 128 yards. Jimmy Graham looked damn good. Marquise Colston probably could have been targeted a little bit more in the game, and the same goes for Lance Moore.
How much of that was home field?
Wow. You know what? I'm not going to say it because, you know what, the New Orleans Saints are a damn good team. Drew Brees is an elite quarterback. And, you know what, when you look at it, a team like the Saints shouldn't be losing to a team like the Carolina Panthers. And a team like the New Orleans Saints, they should not be 0-2 going into Week 3. But Carolina Panthers looked damn good, and this was a very good win and a deserving win.
Yeah, and like I said, I think it indicated, too, that Cam Newton looked like he had kind of shaken some of the rust off.
Yeah.
I think Week 1 was not indicative of what, you know, this is what we saw on Sunday from Cam Newton was the Cam Newton that we had become used to seeing for a good portion of all of last season.
Yeah. Well, the good thing about the Panthers is that they're starting to balance out their attack. I mean, they have such a good rushing core right now between D'Angelo Williams, Jonathan Stewart, Mike Tolbert, and Cam Newton himself, but you can't count out the fact that, hey, they're not going to rush because you have Steve Smith, Brandon LaFell, Greg Olsen, and a couple other guys that Cam Newton, who has a very good arm and very good accuracy, are going to throw to.
Right, and Smith had a better day. Despite the fact he only had 3 receptions, he did have a much better day.
Well, that 66-yard reception, yeah.
Exactly. I mean, that obviously goes to help. But when he can come through for with yardage like that, and that's the kind of thing you expect from that kind of an electric sort of player that we didn't see in Week 1.
Yes. It was a good win. It was a very convincing win for Cam Newton and the Panthers.
And surprise, surprise. Or is it? I'm not sure. Is it a surprise that the Saints are 0-2?
It can be. I think a lot has gone on there. Their coach is not there. You know what? I think it's been a very emotional offseason for a lot of the players, including Drew Brees himself. Listen, I don't expect New Orleans to be terrible all season long. They're going to bounce back. They're a good team with good players. It's going to happen. I think the first 2 weeks was them just trying to get used to what's going on.
They got themselves in a hole right now, though.
Oh, they did.
Yep.
Big time. And who are they playing this week? They're playing the Chiefs. I don't know. 0-2 Chiefs. I think this might be the Saints' first win of the season. But you can't go wrong. Castle had 559 yards last week, didn't he?
Yeah, I don't have the numbers right up in front of me.
Oh, no, excuse me. That's on the season. I'm sorry. So, 559 yards from Castle on the season, 3 touchdowns. Sean Drone's rushing pretty good. Dwayne Bowe looks pretty good, but I see the Saints winning.
All right.
That's just me. All right, the number's 347-237-5373. Colin, let's chat.
Give us a holler, folks.
Absolutely.
Thoroughly evening.
Absolutely. So let's talk quick, really quick about the Miami game They beat the Raiders, and the Raiders have just not looked good.
Yeah, who'd have thunk this one? I mean, well, first of all, Miami won a game, okay? Now, Miami was. I guess Miami's not going to go 0-16, you know. But they won a game. Tannehill was not too bad, 18-30. He had 91 QB rating for 189 yards. But, boy, oh, boy, I think really what was missing here was Darren McFadden.
And he's been missing for 2 weeks now.
11 carries, 22 yards. Are you kidding me? Man, you got to do something better than that. That's ridiculous.
Well,
I mean, seriously.
Let me ask you this. Darren McFadden, sophomore slump, flesh in a pan.
Well, he's coming off the injury from the end of last year. I don't know how. You know, I'm not out in Oakland. I don't follow it that closely to be able to know, you know, all the intimate details. I don't know. You would think. I mean, really, he didn't look terrible. He didn't look horrible in game one.
On the receiving end, on the rushing end, he didn't look that great.
No. Now Palmer was putting it up in the air constantly. I mean, he put it in the air 48 times.
Yeah.
In fact, he was 24 or 48. That's only, what, a 50% completion rate.
Well, you know what? When you start running back, he's averaging 2 yards a carry.
Yeah. So
you really have a choice?
That's what you got to do. Yeah. And when you take a look, Oakland's, I mean, absolutely, I think if there's a stat in here that I think epitomized the game, it's right here. It's third down conversions. Oakland was 1 of 12. Miami, 9 of 17. There it is right there. That's the difference in the game.
Yeah.
So, Miami's defense was there. Oakland's wasn't, for some reason or another, on third and shorts.
Well, you know what? It was the rushing game from the Dolphins that killed Oakland. And I hate to say it, Reggie Bush single-handedly beat the Oakland Raiders.
There you go.
You know, 26 carries, 172 yards,
two yards,
touchdowns,
yep.
And then 25 yards on three receptions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Hartline looked damn good on the receiving end. But, I mean, you also had Lane... running. You had Tannehill ran in for a touchdown. Miller, 65 yards on 10 carries for a touchdown. Four touchdowns from the rushing side. That's just despicable from the Oakland Raiders defense.
Well, and not one you would expect from that defense.
No.
That's the thing that, you know, that's the thing that you come away a little bit surprised at, is that's not the Oakland defense you're expecting.
No. No, absolutely not.
So you got to wonder, is that a blip? You know, is that just we had a bad game, or is that an indication of what we can expect from the Oakland Raiders as far as their defense goes into the future?
Well, you're going to find out this weekend when they play the Steelers.
That's an excellent point, Jonathan. You're going to find out right there.
But you know what? Roethlisberger is going to just put up crazy numbers to Wallace and Brown and Sanders. Raiders defense isn't holding up.
You are absolutely right. That is a great point. They'll
get
their they'll find out what they're made of right there.
Absolutely. All right. You know what? We got to talk about this. This is going to be our last big storyline from the NFL in Week 2. The Seattle Seahawks brutalizing the Dallas Cowboys.
Brutalizing them 27-7. Are you kidding me? We had the game on here at the Fred House, and I got to. I hate the Dallas Cowboys probably more than just about any other team. However, I got to tell you, I actually felt bad for them. This was just horrible to watch.
Well, especially over that convincing Week 1 win over the Giants.
Oh, my gosh. This was a horrible game to watch. This was a game where you're watching it and you just feel like it was futility in motion.
Yeah.
Everything Dallas attempted to do offensively was a complete failure. It was horrible. Horrible game to watch. Tony Romo was 23 of 40 with a quarterback rating of 74.1. And I was saying, I was mentioning it to you pre-show, Russell Wilson. Yeah, who? What?
15 for 20?
Who is Russell Wilson? Russell Wilson, the quarterback for the Seahawks, 15 of 20. Quarterback rating of 112.7. The guy was looking like, I don't know, the second coming of Joe Montana out there.
Well, you know, he only threw 20 times.
Yeah, but he looked darn good when he put it in the air, I'll tell you.
Absolutely, and yet they still won 27-7.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, come on. You know, that's just ridiculous. And we all said very good things about the Dallas defense. They look damn good against the New York Giants. And the New York Giants are an elite team.
I was so shocked. As we're sitting here watching it, and one of our friends here at the frat house is a big Dallas Cowboys fan. I don't know why we let them in, but we do. and we have for a couple of years. I'm sitting here, I'm going, boy, oh boy, this is a Dallas defense that I was praising up and down. I was praising on the radio show. I was praising on 5 minutes at the frat house. And man alive, they just didn't show up to play at all. At all.
Well, let me ask you this. Is Seattle the real deal? Because they didn't look that great against Arizona. Russell Wilson was 18 for 34 with a 62 quarterback rating, one touchdown, one interception. To me, the only good offensive side of Seattle right now is Marshawn Lynch at the running back position.
I would agree.
You know, is Seattle the real deal? Was this a rebound game? Was the week one loss just some rust coming out of the offseason and the preseason? Or was it just that Dallas sucks?
Well, you know, thanks. I think your question really should be rephrased. And I think the question has to be, is Dallas the real deal? Because for a couple of years now, I've kind of been waiting and sitting on the edge of my seat, you know, as an NFC Easter guy, you know, I'm sitting on the edge of my seat going, okay, this is going to be the year that Dallas is going to make a run. This is gonna, not that I'm rooting for it, not that I'm hoping for it, but I'm anticipating it.
Yeah.
And it hasn't happened. So last year I'm saying, well, Tony Romo's going to have the year. I think Tony Romo's finally going to get his year going. It didn't happen. This year I'm saying, at the beginning of the season, I'm going, boy, oh boy, the defense looks really, really improved. This might be it. I think the question is better phrased, is Dallas the real deal? Or as you just said, do they just really, really suck? I mean, seriously, are they a wolf in sheep's clothing? I mean, or the other way around? I don't know, a sheep in wolf's clothing. You know, I mean, are they growling and making it look like they're a contender when in fact there's nothing to them?
Yep.
You know, that's I think the question, and I think that's probably the question that's going on in the Dallas locker room. Who the hell are we? What are we? And what are we made of?
The Dallas Cowboys.
You know, personally, no, I do not think they should have lost to Seattle, and the odds makers had it as well. Dallas should have won that game by 3 from what we looked at last week, and we know that one.
Yeah.
So, listen, they certainly shouldn't have lost by 20.
No, absolutely not. And the funny part is we got Chris from the Hockey Writers Live in our chat room, and he came up with a new motto for the Dallas Cowboys. It says, Dallas Cowboys finding new ways to fail since 1996.
Well, there you go.
I think we need to make some T-shirts.
I
really do like that. Oh, boy. All right.
You know what we need? We need Brett to come on and sing that, you know, doing a little Justin Bieber. That's
right. Come on. No. I love Brett, but no Justin Bieber.
Oh, man.
No. You know what? If Brett calls in and starts singing Justin Bieber, I think I may slit my wrist.
I'm looking for Brett. You know, that's why I was looking forward to doing that Friday show last week. I knew he was going to be coming on.
he's somewhere. He's listening in.
I know he is.
All right, but you know what? Let's go over to our week 3 picks. First, what's the record from week 2?
All right, let's see. Week two was not very good for both of us.
Oh, my God. Very terrible in week 2.
Yeah, I turned out to be 8-8. And you turned out to be 6-10. So cumulatively at this point, Jonathan, you are 16-16.
Yeah.
And I am 17-15. And anybody listening to our prognostications and using them as betting lines, well, you're just flat out idiots.
Absolutely. Hey, you know what? I have a caller from an 856 area code. I have a feeling we might hear some Bieber.
Uh-oh.
Let's answer this call. 856, how can we help you?
You know you love me, I know you care, just shout whenever, and I'll be there. You want my love, you want my heart, and we will never, ever, ever be apart. And I was like, baby, baby, baby,
oh.
No. You know what, Brett, terrible man.
He's banned.
Yeah, he is banned, he really is banned. It sounds terrible.
Oh, caller, you guys are hating.
That's
all
right.
The voice, to call in to showcase my own voice.
Well, listen, you know what? Randy Jackson's on the other line, man. I think he wants to get you in on Idol.
You would have both turned your chairs very, very fast, just in that short piece of that song.
All right, Brett, thanks a lot, man. We appreciate it, man.
Enjoy.
Take care of yourself, man. That's just, you know what? I have to play this for Brett.
Good job,
Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking.
There you go.
Or should I say do an awful lot of singing. All right. Let's go to our week three picks quick. We have a little under 20 minutes left in the show. As usual, I'm going to throw out a game. Mike's going to pick who he thinks is going to win. I pick who I think is going to win. And then by the end of the week, we both look like morons because our picks were terrible.
And I was going to say, and then all of you then pick the opposite. That's all.
Well, usually that's how it works. So, let's start with the first game. We have the New York Giants at the Carolina Panthers.
Well, you know, you and I were talking about this one a little bit pre-show. Wow. How about this? I mean, Giants are only favored by one, but then you brought up a couple of key injuries, which I'll let you talk about in a second.
Yeah.
Giants are only favored by one in this game. Nonetheless, I've got the Giants against the Panthers.
Wow, I'm shocked.
Ah, why?
Very shocked. Because it's the Panthers, man. They look damn good. Well, listen, a lot of injuries on the Giants side. I did have the Giants to go. You know, David Deal injured, huge hole in the offensive line to plug up. Ahmad Bradshaw, Andre Brown looked pretty good, but then you have, the other rookie there who didn't look good. So that's going to be a little concerning on the running back side there. And then also, out of nowhere, Hakeem Nicks is not going to play.
Right.
So to me, with him and Dominic Hickson out, there's really nobody to open the field for Victor Cruz. So I think the Carolina Panthers secondary is really going to shut down Cruz. They're really going to pay attention to him. It's going to be up to the Giants tight ends to really open the field for him. I don't see it. I got Carolina winning in an upset.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. They're going to be king on Cruz because there's nothing else left, it appears, at this point right now.
Yeah.
But I pulled these lines up late, and I'm still, nonetheless, this is the Giants are on the road. And, like I said, I got these late, so, you know, the odds makers were already taking into account the fact that Nicks is not going to be in play.
Yeah.
And yet, the line is still one in favor of the Giants, and that's what's leaning me towards the Giants.
Yeah, I'm still picking the Panthers.
You got it.
We'll take it that way. Okay. St. Louis Rams at Chicago Bears. I'm going to pick first. It's a no-brainer, Chicago Bears.
Well, you know, Chicago's missing Matt Forte, and so will I, trust me.
So listen, Michael Bush, I think he's just going to run over the St. Louis Rams.
See, Chicago is favored by 7.5, and it might be high. It's a home game for Chicago. I'm picking Chicago minus the fact they don't have Matt Forte.
Nah, come on, man. Well, you know what? The good thing for the Bears is Josh Morgan doesn't play for them.
Yeah.
So the Rams aren't going to walk away with a lucky win here. It's you know what?
No. I'm picking Chicago.
Chicago. Okay.
I think the line's a little high. I don't know if I would take Chicago at 7.5. That's my point.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's move on to the next one. We have the hot Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Dallas Cowboys.
And they're not, huh? Dallas is favored by 7. I can't see Dallas. You know, and we just got done talking quite a bit about the Cowboys there. I got to tell you, here I go again. I just can't see Dallas having a game like they did last week. I don't think Tampa Bay's all that. I'm picking Dallas, although I think the line's high.
Yeah, line's high. I'm going with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I really like what they got going on down there. I really like the rookie running back. Vincent Jackson's down there. Josh Freeman looks damn good. In the end, in a few years from now, I think Josh Freeman's going to be a better quarterback than Tony Romo ever was, and I think it's starting with this year. I'm picking the Bucs.
Got it.
All right, no-brainer time, 49ers at Vikings. I got the Niners.
Yeah, you're right. There's a no-brainer. Take the 49ers. Take the points.
Absolutely. Next game, which should be a no-brainer, Detroit Lions at Titans. I already have the Lions.
I don't know why the line's so long. Low. Why is it only 3.5?
I guess because Stafford has looked like ass.
I would agree with you. I was just about to say that. The only reason I can think this line is as low as it is because Detroit really has not played offensively the way everyone would have expected.
No, but it'll turn around.
So, yes.
There's nothing for it to turn around on.
I will take Detroit. You're taking Detroit as well. Is that right?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
All right. Cincinnati Bengals at Redskins.
Washington is a 3.5-point favorite. I can only assume that's because, well, they're getting a home field. That's number one. Number two, everybody's expecting RG3 to have a rebound game. I'm taking Cincinnati against my better judgment. I think this is an upset.
Okay. I got the Redskins I already picked. So.
All right.
Go with the Redskins. RG3 looks good. You know, they should have won last week. Josh Morgan's an ass. He's a fool. I think what he did was just selfish on his behalf.
The Redskins
should have cut him right after the game. And
they actually didn't, or at least bench him for – I mean, is he benched? Have we?
Listen, I don't think we're going to see Josh Morgan in this game at all. I think that's going to be his punishment.
Well, I think that would be a wise move.
Absolutely. All right, well, we're going to go over to a game that's going to affect me, and hopefully not in a bad way like Week 2 did, my New York Jets at the Miami Dolphins.
All right, so talk to me, because you're our Jets guy. Why is this line so low? Jets are only favored by 2.5.
You know, it's because the Jets' offense has been dismal for the last few seasons. You know, flash in the pans like you saw in Week 1 happen. You know, but then what you saw against Pittsburgh was just awful, and something I really did not expect. They broke down in all levels of their offensive and even their defensive game. It's bad. I do think the Jets are a better team. I think if the defense pressures Tannehill and gets to him quick, it's going to come into a lot of turnovers. It might look like Week 1 again, not from an offensive standpoint, but from a defensive standpoint. I do pick the Jets to win, but who knows? It's the Dolphins, and the Jets always have a hard time with them.
Yes, and I'm going to tell you right now, just to get my pick out of the way, I'll tell you right now, I'm going with the Jets as well. I think the line's a little low. But while we're talking about that, and we did talk a little bit about the Miami game before.
Yeah.
What's your gut on this? Is Tannehill, is he going anywhere? I mean, you know, there was a lot of pre-draft talk about him. You know, there was even talk that the Eagles might have been looking at potentially picking him up. He apparently came up quite quickly in the draft. Is this guy anything or what? I mean, is Miami going to be able to build a team around him, I guess is my question.
Well, you know what? We've heard that over the years. Chad Henne, them getting Pennington, you know. Oh, this quarterback's good for them finally. I haven't seen anything from Tannehill yet that suggests that this is the quarterback of their future.
He didn't have a bad preseason.
It didn't look too bad, but you know what? A lot of quarterbacks didn't look too bad either. You know, so, you know, preseason we can't go on. If we could, I think Foles should be the starting quarterback in Philadelphia right now, and they should can Vic.
Oh, okay.
That's
I mean,
my, you know, like we said, we can't go by preseason. You know, you can't because
well,
it's
no,
so.
You and I talked about that, I think, coming into the season, is that preseason, you know, you only give so much latitude to it.
Absolutely.
But it just seemed to me. Tannehill made a mercurial rise very, very late in the whole draft process.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy came from, you know, being what was considered to be, what was he, they were saying maybe third, fourth round, and what, Miami took him in the first or second round?
Yeah.
So.
Was he first round? He was first round.
I think he was first round, yeah.
Yeah, he was first round.
And he made a mercurial rise. So my question is, is he going to be the thing? And I'm just wondering whether that's why the line might be so low. But let's move on.
Yeah, I just don't see it. All right, let's go to the next game quick. We only have about a little over 10 minutes left, so let's try to fly through these pretty quick. To me, no-brainer here, New Orleans Saints at Kansas City. I think New Orleans is getting their first win.
8.5 points, New Orleans is favored. I think the line's a little high, but I've been saying that all so far. For the past 2 weeks, I've been thinking Kansas City, where are they? They're right now 0-2. I put up a beautiful rant today on our Facebook page. I don't know if you had a chance to see it, but go take a look at it, Jonathan, if you get a chance, from a sportscaster out there in Kansas City where he just ripped. I mean, he ripped the KC Chiefs.
Yes.
I'm taking New Orleans.
Great. Buffalo Bills at Cleveland Browns. I think it's going to go either way. I think Buffalo is going to win it. I think Spiller is too much for the Browns to handle, but it depends on what Trent Richardson does with the Buffalo defense. If Trent Richardson has a good game, I think the Browns can win it, but I'm still picking Bills.
wow, I don't think this game's as close as you're making it. I would take the Bills plus. Take if they made that, if that was a 6-point spread, I would take it. So I'm going with the Bills.
Well, I got the Bills too, but I think the Browns, like I said, it really depends on what Trent Richardson does. He looked damn good. They had a they had a decent shot when he was running the ball. Don't like Whedon, but if they give it to him and they let him impact the game, who knows?
Yep.
Jaguars at Colts. I'm going with the upset here, and I'm taking the Jags.
Oh, okay. I believe that I did not take Indianapolis last week. No, I did. I did take Indianapolis last week.
Yeah, we both did. Fortunately.
I'm taking Indianapolis again. I'm just, that one's kind of maybe a shot in the dark on my part, but I'm taking Indy on that one.
Okay, great. Next up, your Philadelphia Eagles at the Arizona Cardinals. I got the Cardinals winning.
Yeah, I'm a little bit nervous about this one because, see, at this point now, it's going to put the Eagles at 3-0.
Yeah.
And the general consensus is, wow, if these guys were to go 3-0, what in the world would that mean for the NFC East? And a lot of people, I didn't think, expected them to beat Baltimore. Look, it's at Arizona, and it's Arizona. Now, I know that we just talked about the game, and their defense looked pretty darn good last week.
Yeah.
I'm going with Philadelphia.
Ooh, look at that. Okay. In a game I can't believe the line's on, the Atlanta Falcons at the Chargers. I got the Falcons. I think the Falcons should be favored over the Chargers, even though the Chargers look good. What do you think?
Couldn't agree more. I would absolutely. I'm taking the Atlanta Falcons.
Okay. Houston Texans at Denver. I have Houston.
I've got Denver. I don't think that Peyton's going to have a game like he did the other night. At least he better not. Otherwise, he'll be off my fantasy team.
All right. Steelers at Raiders. I can't believe the line. I have the Steelers. It should be more.
I agree. I think it should be more.
4.5.
I'm taking Pittsburgh as well.
Okay. The New England Patriots at the Ravens. I have the Ravens. It's not the Patriots of old. The Ravens are a good team. I think their defense is going to get to Brady, and I think they're going to stuff up the middle, so Stevon Ridley and Danny Woodhead is not going to be able to do much. It's going to come down to Brady's arm and the Ravens' defense.
Yeah, and I don't think Brady has a game like he did last week as well, so I keep saying the same thing on some of these games with regard to the quarterback. Brady does not have the game he did last week. New England wins this one.
Okay. Monday Night Football, we have the Green Bay Packers at the Seattle Seahawks. You know what? I'm going to go Seahawks in an upset here.
You know what? I'm going to be in bed by halftime. Green Bay wins this.
Well, I don't know. It's going to be nice. I think Marshawn Lynch is one of the few running backs that could actually solve the Green Bay defense.
Well, you're all right. So, hey, let's see. You got Seattle. All right.
But that's me.
That's fine.
That's me.
That's why we do this.
Most people are going to go with the defending Super Bowl champions, but the Packers don't look like the Packers of last year.
Okay.
And I'm not the only one that thinks that, because you know you think that as well, Mike.
He's not going to have – I mean, they're going to – listen, Seattle is not all that. There it is. I'll leave it at that.
No, they're not. But I don't think the Packers are either this year. But that's just me. I like the Packers. I love Aaron Rodgers. I don't think they're going to be as dominant as they were last year, because last year they were damn dominant. So.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, that's our picks. Hopefully we both do a little better. I mean, of course, I hope I do a hell of a lot better than you, but, our picks from week 2 were just miserable. And our week 1 picks are pretty damn good.
Hey, but that's why we play the games. This is what it's all about. Any given Sunday, man.
Absolutely. So we have a little bit over 5 minutes left in the show. The phone number is 347-237-5373. We probably have enough time to take one caller to answer a question or even hear your comment. So call in now. Nobody's calling.
Okay.
That's terrible. Okay. Well, we're going to round out the show. Unfortunately, we had an unfortunate loss in the world of football. Steve Sable from NFL Films passed away on September 18th, I believe it was.
It was yesterday.
It was yesterday. Okay, so yeah, September 18th. Okay, he was 69 years old. Huge loss. Him and his father, Ed, visionaries.
Yes.
Visionaries. Mike, you met Steve. Why don't you tell us about that meeting and what Steve Sable and even his father Ed means to the NFL and to NFL fans?
Well, I met it was completely a happenstance. I was a young man. I was about 24 years old. It was 1986, and I happened to be out with my boss and his wife and another gentleman, and we were all together at a restaurant down on the main line, down on Lancaster Avenue in Philadelphia, or in the Philadelphia section, Montgomery County. And we were there for dinner. It was a dinner meeting sort of thing. It was just four of us.
Yeah.
And, well, in walks Steve Sable. And my boss was friends with him because, of course, Steve Sable was from the main line area. He was, you know, kind of mixed up. He was Morristown area. But then he went to Villanova, I believe, at one point, where he lived in Villanova. And so he had connections back to the main line area, and Steve Sable came walking in. And, wow, I was a 24-year-old guy, and my eyes just lit up. And he came over, and he obviously he was there to sit down and chit-chat with my boss. But I, you know, I started talking to him and started checking with him and going, you know, hey, talk to me about NFL films.
Yeah. It's, you know.
And it was fascinating.
Yeah. I mean, why wouldn't it be? They're visionaries.
Absolutely. These guys were just, these guys were incredible. Yeah. You know, I got the full story, the full history. In 45 minutes, the guy sat down. I felt like I had a very intimate kind of a meeting with just Steve Sable. And that voice, I mean, you know, the voice you hear.
Yeah.
You've heard for years.
That's
on
amazing.
Television. I mean, you know, yeah, he sat there. And he was tall man. He was just, you know, and it, just a smile, just a tremendous smile. He was, you know, when you take a look at what football and the way we cover it today versus, you know, what it is today, so much of it came from what they did back in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s with NFL films.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and if more leagues had a guy like Steven Ed Sable, you know, it would have paid dividends for them.
Yep.
All right, well, we have one call coming in. We have a little over 3 minutes left. 484 area code, what's going on? Oh, they dropped the call. They hung up. Well, that's a shame.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
You know, it is a shame.
You know, let's go back to Steve for a moment because, you know.
Wait. They're actually calling in again. Let me just grab it.
Right.
Let me see. 484 area code, what's going on?
Hey there, Mr. Jonathan.
Whoa.
I'm listening to your picks out there, and I'm really hearing a Jets favoritism there. Do you really think the Ravens are going to beat the Patriots on primetime football? Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Has history shown you anything in regards to this team as a Jets fan? Anything?
I don't know.
Every time Brady has a bad game, he comes out and takes no prisoners.
I don't know, Mike, can you hear me? Sounds like a robot.
Was
it just me? Because it sounded all cut up and distorted.
I think I got the gist of some of what he was saying.
Yeah.
I think he was...
It's Patriots and Jets, so...
Yeah, I think he said, you know, do you really think that the Patriots are going to have that bad a game coming back after their loss from last week? I think that was the first thing. I think there was also a little bit of comment there about... Well, I think the initial comment I heard was, I hear a jet slant is what he was indicating. And I think he was questioning you on your pick of Baltimore, I believe, is what he was questioning.
Hey, what are you going to say? Those are those typical Patriots fans out there. All right, well, you know what? We don't have that much time left. So basically, to sum it up, you know, Sable was just a visionary.
Really
his father, it's a real shame. It's a loss, you know, that speaks volumes. And you know what? It would be great if the NHL had a guy like Steve Sable. I think the NHL would have blew up even more if they had a guy like Steve Sable.
Yeah.
All right, well, we got a little under 60 seconds left. I just want to thank everybody who listened in tonight. Thank you for joining us at a new hour. At 6:30 to 7:30, and we'll be back on Friday. Probably won't be evening hours, but starting Monday, it'll definitely be at this time for good. So
yeah, Friday we'll be on at what? 1 o'clock? Did you say
1 o'clock? Yeah, 1 to 1:30 on Friday, unfortunately.
Yep.
All right. So for Mike McShane, I'm Jonathan Ragus. Once again, thank you for listening to Fan Junkies Radio. And as Mike always says at the Frat House, keep us live. keep us real. I love to steal it. Thank you, Mike.